The Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Miracle. Growth isn't just about speed, it's about direction. Miracle gives you the infrastructure to scale smarter, not just faster, with a marketplace, dropship, retail media, and seller platform, powered by AI and built for what's next. It's October 13th, 2025, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, process reengineering is a key skill in the age of AI. Stripe Link moving more customer facing. Is OpenAI building a super app? And Bobby Morrison, the Shopify chief revenue officer, is forced out. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains five items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, process reengineering is a key skill in the age of AI. I recently had a conversation with Jason Cottrell, the CEO of Orium, on the O-Shift podcast, which is going to be releasing soon, and he was speaking about an employee progression metric, which was adapted and derived from Zapier, and the last stage is called transformative. At Orium, this means that AI is not just saving time in an existing process, but that processes have been totally rethought between departments with AI in mind. Sounds simple, right? Nope. In general, I would say that process reengineering is one of the most difficult forms of leadership, period. For most people, the answer is always see tool, buy tool. Hope for the best. And then, if the tool or software fails, find a better tool is usually the next answer, rather than figuring out why it went wrong. Sometimes the problem is that people aren't communicating with each other. Sometimes people don't want to rethink what they've been doing. And that's exactly why some kind of employee measurement framework is required, even essential. It sets a challenge. What's the challenge to employees then? I think the answer is simple. Business as usual is not acceptable. Processes need to be looked at from first principles with fresh eyes, with a keen eye toward customer outcomes. And look, a lot of people aren't willing to go there. Perhaps that's why you see some of the studies you do now. But suffice to say, companies that do look at critical revenue processes will be the winner in this era. Not just companies who encourage employees to try AI first. How do you measure what's working? What are your value metrics? To do that, you need to look deeper than the surface vanity demo. Our second story, Stripe Link moving on up. While Stripe Link has been quiet for a long time, it does appear that the profile of the payment method is increasing. Stripe is hiring for a head of consumer marketing for Link on its website. The reported facts in the job posting include over 100 million consumers and millions more joining the network each month. One of the Stripe marketing reps actually commented on my LinkedIn post last week saying that Stripe recently released a report that there are over 200 million consumers on Stripe Link. That compares to over 200 million ShopPay users as reported in February by Shopify, and it seems to me that Stripe Link is growing about two times slower than ShopPay, at least in order of magnitude, and that Stripe would like to accelerate that. While I can compare it to ShopPay here, the real issue is PayPal. With a consumer-facing arm, PayPal has many more weapons to win a long-term war than Stripe does. So Stripe Link growth rates matter. However, Stripe and Shopify, while overlapping and they're all competing, they're also not 100% in competition. Likely, the CEOs of all these companies feel there can be multiple winners here. So again, growth rates matter. And while PayPal branded checkout is growing much slower than Shopify, it's also growing slower than Stripe Link too. Meaning, Stripe wouldn't mind increasing its growth rate. Over the long term, if you're close to the consumer, you have more opportunities to increase your margin through ads, lending, and other means than the alternative. Our third story, is OpenAI building the super app? I attracted some maybe negative attention from some of my listeners this week when I insinuated that OpenAI was building a real super app in the West, the likes of which maybe we haven't seen recently. The Western world has chased the idea of a super app for many years, trying to recreate WeChat in the West, Chinese social media, messaging, and wallet app owned by Tencent. Within WeChat are many mini programs which exist, from Didi cars to bike sharing to paying for utilities to all sorts of things. Last week, the CTO of Instacart announced they are partnering with OpenAI on apps within ChatGPT, which looked interesting. One of the more interesting screenshots, and we'll see in a few months if it's useful or not, I've seen in a while. But will it cook? So, what's a super app in the West anyway? The corporate vision is to be a toll collector for everything, more expansive than even the mobile app stores. Many companies in the United States have professed to be building super apps, from X to Square or Block and more. Even Klarna and Bolt have mentioned the idea in the last year. Most of it is just marketing BS. But no one has the potential to pull it off like OpenAI. The success of OpenAI becoming a super app depends on a few things. First, incentives for the developers. The VIG from OpenAI needs to be not so onerous as to discourage innovation, and apps must be easily promotable and the App Store must be seamlessly integrated with the experience. In other words, ads are coming here too, meaning like advertising apps. Second is user ease. This is a big one. The flow has to be natural for users such that it doesn't require special code words or awkward things you type to activate the usefulness of the app. Think about the Alexa App Store as the worst example of this. Yeah, technically it works, but practically it's useless. LLMs have the promise of making it a little easier. The only potential downside is that language is so imprecise. Three is network effects. Obviously, the more users can attract more app developers, and more app developers build more apps. And more apps means the greater chance of useful apps, and useful apps attract more users. What would kill such a super app opportunity? Ultimately, being too clunky, making it hard to find or use apps. Big early app failures could also hurt. Big early wins could help fuel the effort. Notable features could cool off. Competition. Someone like Apple or Google who already has apps. Are they thinking this way? It's hard to tell. Counting out Apple is never a good idea, and they are one of the best fast followers in the world when a big new idea hits the stage and is clunky as hell to use. Few have the user obsession that Apple has. To OpenAI's credit, they do recognize this, but with Johnny Ive really be working on hardware, will this get much of his time? There are a lot of questions and few answers at this stage, but the ambition itself makes it one to watch. And our last story. Shopify CRO, Chief Revenue Officer Bobby Morrison forced out. Wow. Yeah, this has been a big story this last week. Let's follow the chain for a second. Kaz Najarian, the COO of Shopify, recently left to join Opendoor as its CEO. And this seemed to expose Bobby Morrison, who Kaz was the buffer between Bobby and Toby. Now, Bobby actually, as a result of that process, got a new buffer from Jess Hertz, Chief Legal Officer at Shopify. Jess apparently was not happy with what she learned as part of this transition, and this is speculation. Just last week, Bobby Morrison presented to over 8,000 people at NetSuite Suite World about Shopify. I mean, why do you send someone to an event if you're going to fire them a couple days later? This all happened pretty fast. Just a few days later, Jess Hertz was promoted to COO based on her prior work and what she learned needed to be fixed. That is indisputable. It's also kind of speculation on my part that Jess was promoted without an external search. Given the timing of this, there's almost no time to conduct an external search. It's probably the COO doesn't even have like an exact definition that an external firm would have used. The social media is also interesting to watch. I mean, I love following some of this corporate politics BS. It's just fun to see what's happening. There are no thank you messages, like not a one, from Toby, Harley, or Jess. Nothing, zip, zero. On the other hand, you know, Bobby, Rachmani, others who were, you know, essentially forced out, was a big thank you to Shopify. Clearly, they had a big effect on the organization. The company didn't have any enterprise go-to-market motion at all before. And so it's a little bit strange for Shopify to insinuate there was no process. So again, my informed speculation is that Bobby was forced out given the timings here, along with a number of his top lieutenants. Some other meta conclusions here that I think I can draw from the sequence of events is that Kaz seemed to be a big fan of Bobby, and as a result, without that key support, that spelled really the last dominoes to fall here. It's also, I think, safe to conclude that the Enterprise team is missing its numbers. That's something we should look for in the next earnings report. So we'll see what happens when Q3 comes out there. I think the speculation is pretty informed. Just saying you don't get rid of a CRO who is knocking the cover off the ball, you just don't. It doesn't mean that Shopify is going to miss numbers because Enterprise is not like the biggest contributor to their revenue. I would say the base levels of Shopify Plus are, of which all of that does not mean Enterprise. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out here. In the end, Shopify momentum is still there. That's not going to change. But it does highlight that Shopify is actually quite quick to rectify what it thinks are mistakes from its eyes and right the ship. And I can actually think of three big ones in the last 5 years alone. So if you remember in 2021, Shopify hired Alan Leinwand as CTO. That was completely unwound and reset inside of 2 years. Bobby Morrison obviously has lasted quite a while, several years. Now that's unwound, and we'll see how the sales organization and partner organization resets. Shopify made a famously huge logistics bet, over $1 billion. That's been unwound and reset to more of a partner-driven strategy. Now look, there are a lot of great people in the go-to-market team at Shopify, including many that listen to this podcast. Thank you for listening. You know who you are. A lot of them were brought in by Bobby because there was like nothing before Bobby. There was really, you know, just the Plus team. So there were some notable departures in the last 6 months. And sort of my final informed speculation is really that Shopify believe that there are more sales and marketing departures to come if this change was not acted on quickly. And again, I'm not passing judgment on it. You hear me here. It's just the thing. I mean, corporate politics, it happens. Corporations have to make decisions. Shopify doesn't beat around the bush in these sorts of things. Like, they notice some things, they make a change, they move on. And if they need to make a change again, you know, you could see new changes in the next couple of months. Probably the biggest next decision to be made is who's going to be the head of revenue at Shopify. That's something we'll be watching closely. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have 5 items on the menu today. First, Salesforce to acquire Regrello. Salesforce has announced that it's acquired Regrello, an AI platform designed to streamline and automate complex workflows in manufacturing and supply chain for an undisclosed price. The software will be integrated into Salesforce Agentforce platform and Slack. Second, Pylon secures $31 million in Series B funding. B2B customer support platform Pylon announced that it's raised $31 million in Series B funding that will be invested in product development and hiring. Third, Klaviyo acquires Gatsby. Klaviyo announced that it's acquired Gatsby, a social automation platform that converts social media engagement into owned customer relationships for an undisclosed price. Fourth, Blue Yonder acquires Optoro to further transform returns management and extend capabilities. Blue Yonder has announced the acquisition of Optoro, a return software platform, for an undisclosed price. And finally, Keychain raises $30 million in Series B funding. Keychain, a manufacturing supply chain platform in the consumer packaged goods sector, announced that it's raised $30 million in Series B and plans to enter new CPG verticals. Did you know that RMW Commerce has another podcast? Check out the Watson Weekend for an unfiltered and lively e-commerce chat each week with me, Rick Watson, my co-host, Jess Lisewski, and an array of interesting guests and topics, all focused on e-commerce. You can find the Watson Weekend by searching for it on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. To hear new episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/watsonweekly and wherever you get your podcasts.